Joining me now are the emergency director, Dr. Willie Foster, and the chief medical officer, Dr. Heather MacArthur. Anne Williams is on with us, too. I don't know if she'll be speaking this morning, but we may get her in on this as well. Good morning to all of you.
Morning, George.
Good morning, George.
So I want to start off with one of the things that I've been hearing in the community is that people aren't believing the numbers are as extreme in the hospital beds that we're hearing. Can you kind of give us an idea of, specifically with Riverbend, how many beds are being used for COVID-19 patients at this time?
Sure, I'll take that one, George. So, right now, as of the last couple days, they had to expand the COVID unit to be able to accept some more patients. So we're up to 67 inpatients with COVID, which is higher than we've had. If you compare it to last November, for example, sorry, my computer's being loud. We're looking at 30, for example, last November that were in the hospital. So this is pretty high numbers. Now, in general, though, we're seeing unprecedented numbers of just very sick patients with other illnesses. And so the hospitals are full generally with very sick patients that are not COVID as well. So we're seeing this huge increase in COVID plus the other generally sick patients that we might be seeing this time of year anyway. So you can imagine that when you mix those two things together, you create a perfect storm of not having enough beds throughout, not just Eugene, but throughout the Oregon system, trying to sustain the patients that need to be taken care of. Dr. Foster, did you have anything else you wanted to add to that?
Yes, there's been some modeling done that if, the current projections with COVID, as well as just the increase in the sick patients we're seeing, that Oregon could be short 500 beds within the next month, 500 more patients needing a bed in Oregon than are available. And those are patients that will have to be sent farther away, possibly down to California, Idaho, Washington. But some of those states are experiencing similar, shortages as we are.
Now, my understanding is to alleviate some of the future stress or the added stress that Riverbend is planning on halting or has already halted scheduled elective procedures that could be safely delayed. Is that the case? And how long might we have to wait for people to be able to get back in?
Well, that is the case. And I think they're taking that kind of on a day by day basis. It's not a decision they've made over the next month. We're not doing elective or scheduled procedures. They're kind of doing it on a day-by-day basis as they see what the volume is of patients that need to be admitted, patients that are sitting down in the ED or sitting over in our emergency department that need a bed someplace. And if they see a large number of patients, they're saying, we got to decrease the people coming in that we can, such as scheduled surgery, so we can get these people from the emergency departments that need to be admitted into a bed. So I think they're taking that on a day-by-day or several days at a time look.
Now, and just
but as of yesterday, we did put a hold on elective surgeries at Riverbend, and we put a hold on elective surgeries at Peace Harbor that require inpatient stays, George. So if someone is needing to stay in the hospital, we've put a hold on those. Now, those procedures that would be an outpatient procedure, like a colonoscopy where they would just come in, get the procedure, and go home, we would continue to do those for now. But those that might require an inpatient stay, like, for example, an elective total hip replacement for arthritis or a total knee replacement, those we're putting on hold, and we're assessing those, as Dr. Foster said, day to day. But we are, for now, putting a hold on those and looking at how we can project the bed need going forward.
Now, Dr. Foster, what are we seeing as far as, new COVID numbers here for Florence? I know we had 15 over the weekend. Do we have an idea if this is going to continue to grow? Or are we, I know we talked about, there's always the possibility of this running itself out, but we might lose a bunch of people if that were to happen. What do we see trending now?
Well, the numbers continue to increase, and people that are experts in this and look at, past trends and the models we have think that this is going to continue for another, 30 to 45 days at this kind of level. There'll be some ups and downs, but nobody is projecting that the numbers are suddenly going to plummet back to where they were a couple of months ago in the next, you know, few days or few weeks. We are in a sustained surge that's going to last for at least another month or longer.
Now, we've also heard this morning, I heard on ABC News, the potential for a booster shot now becoming, the other day it was for immunocompromised people, but now they're talking about a continual dose for people after about 8 months of being vaccinated. What do we know about that so far?
So right now, the recommendation, at least from yesterday that has coming out that we've heard, is that they're going to ask you to get a booster 8 months after your completion of vaccination. So if you completed your vaccine, say, in April of this year, then 8 months from that, we would want you to get an 8 month booster, the same type of vaccine you received. So if you receive Pfizer, we'd want you to get a Pfizer booster. If you receive Moderna, Moderna booster. There has not been a statement yet about Johnson & Johnson. But if you're currently, for example, an active cancer patient, an organ transplant recipient on immunosuppressant drugs like high-dose steroid therapy or have like a stem cell transplant that you received, you are eligible currently for a booster. So if you do have those conditions, we want you to reach out to your healthcare provider and get a booster right away. And then look at your dates, look at your vaccine card. And as you approach that 8 month mark, then you would be eligible for a booster of whatever type you received, if it was Moderna or Pfizer.
Now, obviously we're still, go ahead, Dr. Foster.
Just to be clear, George, that 8 month recommendation is not official. It looks like it's coming, but it's not been officially announced. And I think the other thing that's important for people to realize is that booster shot is not going to have that big of an impact on the surge we're seeing right now, because the people that are sick in the hospital, these 67 people, the vast majority are unimmunized. So people getting their booster is not going to have a big impact on this current surge that we are seeing right now.
Now, this is obviously, they're calling this the fourth wave, and I think some people may have recognized that this was going to happen, but we had that lull in there. If we were to experience a lull at the end of this one and the immunization stay around the same rate, I mean, could this potentially, you know, just keep on going like a roller coaster as far as waves go?
I mean, I think the answer to that is yes, definitely, because unless we really increase the percentage immunized, there's enough people unimmunized out there for the virus to circulate and to evolve. And that's what the virus has done. That's the Delta variant we see causing this. It evolved. And the best way to stop evolution of the virus is to not have very many places for it to, you know, live and replicate and evolve. So yes, if we stay at this, you know, 70% overall immunization, there'll probably be another variant that crops up and will mainly affect the unvaccinated, though there's the potential that it could evolve enough to really affect vaccinated people as well, change enough that the vaccine would be fairly ineffective. And that's the scary part.
Now, obviously that we're not policymakers here. We just kind of disseminate the information that we get there. But Dr. MacArthur, you know, from your best guess, are we at a place now, because this is kind of worse than it's been the entire pandemic, and we have the vaccines now. Are we at the place where people should be considering staying home and not going out in public and not being in places, even if they're masked?
I think that's a great question, George. I think people need to be wise about their own medical conditions and what their chance of contracting this infection is, and to follow those appropriate recommendations. If they are someone who's more susceptible, has an immunocompromised state, I definitely think that they need to be wise about exposing themselves, limiting their contact with the potential exposure to the virus, especially in public settings, and continue to use masks, 6 feet distancing, good hand hygiene, and take every precaution that they can to protect themselves. I also think it's important to remember that We've done a lot to make sure that our hospitals stay safe, working to make an environment so that those individuals who are sick with other things do come in. You know, one of my concerns as we've been talking today, we talk about all those other sick folks who are coming into the hospital. They're very, very sick, and I worry that many of them are delaying coming in for care out of fear of the virus, and we could help them if they would have come in earlier. So please, if you're ill and needing assistance, please come in and let us help you. We don't want you to get to the point that you're so ill that you're having to be hospitalized. So that would be my other plea, that we can reach out and make sure that people know that the hospitals, the clinics, we're here to serve you, and we want to help maintain your health so that you don't get to the point that you're needing to be hospitalized.
I think one of the things that we don't see or don't see in the figures are that people that have to delay health care and then end up dying or getting deathly sick because of that. And we don't really see that in the numbers, but that's an important number to take into consideration. What are the next step for Peace Harbor Hospital here? Do we have surge plans in place, Dr. Foster?
We are working on them. We've always had surge plans in place since the start of the pandemic. We've been revising them as we look at the number of staff we'll have, because, you know, a big part of a surge plan is the availability of additional staff, and that is a problem across the nation. There is a relative shortage of providers, especially nurses, and we are working on that, trying to get some travelers or part-time people to come in to help supplement our staff if needed. But we are revising our plans all the time with the possibility that we may need to take care of COVID patients at our hospital. And we are prepared to do that if River Bend becomes, you know, reaches a point where they feel that they need to have some of those people stay locally. We are prepared to do that. And then just in general, trying to keep patients locally if possible. As I said earlier, there's, you know, so many people in the hospital right now that often trying to find a bed, even for a non-COVID patient, we're looking up to Portland or down to Medford or even farther. And so we're looking at some alternative plans that will help us maybe keep some patients locally instead of having to send them so far away. But it's a challenge.
All right. And as far as the staffing thing goes, just a little plug here for Doc Talk tomorrow on our One Station Sunday on KCST. We're going to talk with recruitment specialists about, of course, bringing in additional staff for that. I'd like to thank Dr. Heather MacArthur, Chief Medical Officer, and Emergency Department Director Dr. Willie Foster for joining us this morning. Thank you so much for the update. And I know with everything going on, this is probably something we should do on a regular basis, but we'll check back with you soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
George.
All right, that's our COVID checkup for this Tuesday morning.